60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Before we get to the phones, Crudy, I want to read a piece to our fair audience. Found this on thejezebel.com, and it lit my ass up last night, and I want to share it with you. So maybe you can, you know, put some of this anger into context for you. This piece written by Laura Bassett. I think I posted it up on our Facebook page. The Devil's Advocates Radio. Go there often if you want to see what the hell is going on in this world. Here is what Laura writes. In case you needed any further proof that the modern anti-abortion movement is an outgrowth of many centuries of virulent misogyny and violence against women, Justice Samuel Alito's leaked opinion draft striking down Roe v. Wade relies heavily, I tell ya, on a 17th century English jurist who had two women executed for witchcraft, wrote in defense of marital rape, and believed capital punishment should extend to kids as young as 14. Two treatises by Sir Matthew Hale, Alito wrote in his...
Well, in this guy's defense, people didn't live as long back then.
I think that's actually not necessarily the case. If you looked at the average, a lot of people died in birth or in the very early years, but once if they got over the hump, they had a pretty long lives. But
I mean, 14's a pretty good spell, yeah. Right?
The two treatises by Sir Matthew Hale, Alito wrote in his argument to end legal abortion across America, described abortion of a quick child who died in the womb as a great crime and a great misprision. C.M. Hale, pleas of the crown. That's the quote from the piece. Now, the author goes on. How interesting that Alito would cite pleas of the crown. That's the text published in 1736. 1736, 60 years after Hale's death, that defended and laid the foundation for the marital rape exemption across the world. Let's go straight to the text. Quote, for the husband cannot be guilty of a rape committed by himself upon his lawful wife, for by their mutual matrimonial consent and contract, the wife hath given up herself in this kind unto her husband, which she cannot retract, Hale wrote. The author goes on, allowing marital rape sounds pretty antiquated, but it was actually legal in many U.S. states up through the 1990s and continues to be allowed or at least treated quite differently under the law in some states than non-spousal rape. Thanks, Mr. Hale. Also, among Hale's greatest hits, sentencing two women to death for witchcraft at a time when the, quote, more enlightened people of the 17th century had already begun to doubt the existence of witchcraft, an opinion the Salem, Massachusetts judges relied on in their notoriously deadly witch trials. According to the Boston Globe, 25 people were killed during those trials. All 19 who were executed through a hanging died at Proctor's Ledge. Five others died in jail, and one was crushed to death. It's quite fitting that Alito would cite this guy's opinion on abortion in deciding to revoke the right from the American people nearly a half a century after Roe legalized the health procedure in 1973. The reason Roe was needed in the first place is that American women were dying from unsafe so-called back alley abortions. As many have pointed out, the movement to ban abortion is not and has never been about protecting fetuses. It started as a way to galvanize conservative voters in support of racial segregation, to motivate misogynistic people who really only care about punishing women to also turn on in support of the entire right-wing agenda. And so here we are, the author concludes, in the year 2022, about a month or so from the Supreme Court striking down the basic human right of half the American population, based in part on an opinion of some guy in the 1600s who wanted men to be able to rape their wives. Never mind that a strong majority of the country wants Roe to stay intact and has absolutely no say in the matter. Perfect democracy, no notes. Jezebel.com, Laura Bassett.
Devil's Advocates.
That's where we're at.
Phone number. 844-967-2789. Joe from River West. Welcome, Joe. What do you got?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey.
Good.
I want to revisit the discussion about Evers.
Sure.
And, you know, I think the idea is that, you know, he's putting something out there that may allow him, and you had an earlier caller, Joe.
Yeah, Joe from Madison.
I hear
very smart lady.
Joe from Madison.
All people named Joe are really smart, I hear.
Well, thank you for that. But, you know, we'll see how this goes. And if you feel that way after we get done talking, you know, all the better.
We'll be the judge of that, Joe. Go ahead.
Right. So anyway, the point I wanted to bring up is that, you know, Joe said, you know, perhaps Tony's doing this to bring this radical Republican Party or wing of the party into the fold. You're not going to bring radicals into a fold, right? But what you could do, what I think Tony is attempting to do, is maybe bring moderate Republicans into the fold that are just tired of the tribal politics, you know? I mean, if you have, like, I'll say this. I'm not a huge
Joe, let me interrupt you. Can you think of one moderate Republican, as you have described, who in the state of Wisconsin, who would fit that bill? Any particular state senator, state legislator, congressperson?
Jerry Petrowski, they got Mungs in common.
Hey, I'm not talking about politicians. I'm talking about voters, man.
Yeah, valid point.
Voters are I'm talking about voters, and these are the people that are going to make or break this at the end of the day. So, I mean, politicians aren't going to vote for Tony Evers for governor. Voters are going to vote for Tony Evers for governor.
Joe, I have no doubt that you have a strategic plan there, but that's not exactly what Tony said. Tony said, I've been working with Republicans and Democrats to deliver tax cuts. Factually, that's a different statement. That's saying I've already done something, I've accomplished something, and it's not the tax cuts I take issue with. It's the fact that he claims he worked with Republicans, sir. He did not. Well, there's no evidence other than maybe his shared affection for Mungs with Jerry Petrowski.
Okay, but I he's speaking to a broad populace, right? He's not speaking to the informed people such as you, right? This is an ad that goes out over the broader airways.
He could make a similar but different claim without lying to the broad, reasonable, thoughtful electorate. And I don't mean to cut you short, Joe. We just are up against a hard break. They're uncompromising. More Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back.
If the issue were to come before me, if I am fortunate enough to be confirmed and the issue were to come before me, the first question would be the question that we've been discussing, and that's the issue of stare decisis.
I wish you weren't a liar.